Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Analyzer. Joining us today is Jeff Baxter, president and CEO for VBI Vaccines Incorporated. The company trades on NASDAQ, ticker symbol VBIV, and on the Toronto Stock Exchange, ticker symbol VBV. Thanks for joining us today there, Jeff.
Great, Juan. Thanks very much.
Yeah, certainly. So our last interview was about 3 to 4 months ago. Can you bring us up to speed there on some of your activity there at VBI?
Yeah, Juan, it's great to give you and your followers an update. Thanks for the follow-up. Yeah, since we last spoke to you, very importantly for our latest stage asset, which is a prophylactic HPV asset, vaccine. And this last time we spoke to you, we were expecting FDA approval for our Phase 3 program. And this Phase 3 program consists of two trials, 4,800 patients in total, and these are pivotal registration trials. And this Phase 3 program allows us to consider seeking commercial approval and licensing in the US, Canada, and in Europe. So we've now had the green light from the FDA to begin that program in the US. We've had the green light from Health Canada, and we're just waiting now for the green light from the individual reference countries in the European Union. And we are seeking to run that program in the UK, Germany, Belgium, and Finland. That approval is expected in the next couple of months, but we do expect to start dosing subjects in the trial in the US and in Canada, certainly before the end of this year. So very excited to get this trial underway, Juan, and it is a 15-month trial in total, which means that we should be in a position to complete the database lock and study report and submit the BLA to the FDA and the CTA in Canada and in Europe for marketing approval. We will submit the final study report in mid-2019, and then we would expect marketing approval to launch this product in early 2020. So we're really excited about that, and you know, just to remind your followers that this product has been in over 300,000 people in Israel, where the product is already licensed, and in fact where it was invented. And this product has proved to be 100% safe and 100% effective, and a significant improvement post-second vaccination over the current standard of care, which is Engerix-B from GSK. So we're very excited about that. I think other major developments since we spoke last are GBM program, which is a CMV foreign viral antigen approach to tackling GBM, and of course I'm sure your followers know that GBM is the most common form of brain cancer and is in fact the most fatal form of cancer. And so, you know, this really is a very significant unmet medical need. Since we last spoke to you, we've been in discussion with the FDA, and we have had approval from the FDA for a rolling adaptive Phase 1, Phase 2A clinical study. That first patient cohort in the study is approximately 18 subjects, and we, again, with the green light from the FDA, expect to begin enrolling this trial before the end of this year. Now, because we are going into the most difficult form of cancer, and in particular GBM brain cancer, which is in the recurrent setting, this trial has been set up with a very extensive set of immunomonitoring biomarkers and immunomonitoring data, so that we can very quickly, in fact every 6 weeks, study these subjects. And also, with alongside those immunomonitoring markers, we will also be conducting MRI brain scans and looking at the impact of our vaccine on the brain tumours. So we want to have data very, very quickly to say whether or not this vaccine is having an effect. And of course, in terms of clinical outcomes, given that the median survival time in recurrent brain cancer very, very sadly for these poor patients, is only 5 to 8 months. Essentially, 1 year after the trial, we will know not only whether or not our vaccine is having an effect on extending overall survival, but we'll also have, by then, probably 6 data points in terms of formal readouts of this extensive immunomonitoring data, which will allow us to say that if we are seeing some kind of clinical benefit, then it is being driven by the vaccine, which is critically important. Often in these oncology trials, they you see progression-free survival or perhaps improvement in overall survival. They tie those improvements in clinical outcomes to the drug being administered is difficult. We want to make sure that we have a very close correlation between what we're seeing our vaccine stimulating in terms of immune response versus the clinical outcomes. And then, last but not least, since we spoke to you last, we've also published the interim data on our congenital CMV vaccine. And just to remind your followers, this was really, really important because this congenital CMV vaccine was in fact the first candidate in humans from a very new platform, our envelope virus-like particle platform. And of course, the objective of any phase one trial has to be safety and tolerability. So this was particularly important for the first time in human trial for this candidate, and I'm delighted to say that following the last patient last visit, which was in August, then we have now 2 DSMB drug safety monitoring board readouts to say that this vaccine was safe and well tolerated. But also we powered the phase one study very strongly, such that we intended to show some initial immunological human proof of concept. I'm delighted to say that the data that we published in early August showed exactly that. We used very, very low doses in this initial trial, 0.5, 1, and 2 microgram doses. Most licensed vaccines are 10 times that. So most licensed vaccines are between 10 and 20 micrograms. And what we saw was a very clear dose response curve. And of course, scientists and clinicians always like to see clear dose response curves. We saw absolutely no response in our placebo negative control, which was very good because it shows that there wasn't any background noise disrupting the subjects who were on the active dose. And we were also able to prove the benefit of the adjuvant alum across the 3 doses that were on alum versus a control of a mid-dose group without alum. So that data showed 100% zero conversion, which showed that basically in the highest dose group, 100% of the subjects zero converted, and we initiated the induction of neutralizing antibodies in the epithelial cells, the key sort of cell type and biomarker for efficacy in this space. So we're really excited about this, and I think in terms of investors looking for further signals on the efficacy and the potential for this, and just to remind your followers, congenital CMV is the biggest cause of birth defects in the 7 major markets. So in fact, it's a very critical unmet medical need. We anticipate being able to release the final data from this study, which is post-third vaccination. We anticipate being able to release that in the first half of next year. And I think what we'll be looking for is a similar kind of boost in the immune response, the ability to generate neutralizing antibodies and seroprotect the subjects. Between the first and second dose boost, we saw between a 10 to 15-fold increase in antibody binding titers, and we would expect to see something similar to that between the second and third dose. That, I think, you know, even from the interim data, I think we have enough data now and confidence to be able to push this candidate forward into a formal dose-ranging study. And to that end, we will also be conducting preclinical studies at the 10, 15, and 20 micrograms over the next 6 months. So we're really excited about that, and I think the first half of next year will be a very important point for this candidate. And you know, we look forward to the early encouraging signs that we will have a strong candidate to be able to take into phase 2A dose ranging studies over the next couple of years. So that's kind of where we are in terms of our three major assets. And, you know, all the fundamentals in the company appear to be very, very solid. And as I say, the sort of major catalysts and milestones over the next 18 months that your followers should look for is, first of all, us initiating the Sci-B-Vac prophylactic Hep B vaccine trial in this year, initiating also this GBM brain cancer study, the phase 1, 2A rolling adaptive design, first cohort being 18 subjects. And then in early in, or at least in the first half of next year, the final data from the CMV trial, and throughout next year, interim results, or at least readouts from our GBM trial. And as I say, probably this time, or at least towards the end of 2018, we do really hope for the benefit of the patients in this awful affliction to be able to see some improvement in overall survival. So I'll pause there and let you follow up with any questions.
Yeah, certainly. So as far as investors and the financial community, what are some of your key drivers there, Jeff, that you wish perhaps, you know, they better understood about the company and Sci-B-Vac?
Yeah, so I mean, Sci-B-Vac is obviously, as the clinical data is very, very clear, is really an improved vaccine after two doses versus three doses of the current standard of care. And I think our vaccine, our data, particularly in over 45-year-olds and perhaps those who are metabolically challenged, so pre-diabetic subjects or perhaps subjects or people that are overweight, you know, smokers, drinkers, or anything else that challenges the metabolic system that really often goes alongside immunosenescence or just the process of getting older. I think our data in those particular patient subgroups is very, very strong. And in Europe, I think there's a great, great opportunity for us, given that there's also a product coming through approval in the U.S., for called Heplisav from Dynavax, which has a very similar efficacy profile to Sci-B-Vac. But at the moment, that product, Heplisav, does not have an open IND in Europe. So very much Dynavax are concentrating on the American market, whereas we are sort of progressing the approval of Sci-B-Vac in all three markets. And the European market, I think, holds a lot of potential for us to be the first to market on, and obviously we'll see what happens to Heplisav from Dynavax with the FDA over the coming months as to, you know, when that product may or may not be launched and under what conditions it's launched in terms of the phase 4 post-marketing surveillance study. I would anticipate that we'll be second to the market in this need for an improved Hep B vaccine in the U.S., but certainly first to the market in Europe. So I think in terms of, you know, the valuation of, you know, our company, you know, I think with a market cap of, you know, 150 million or something, perhaps compare that to some of our comps with assets at the same stage. I mean, clearly we are somewhat beneath the radar and, you know, have not yet completed a public offering, having raised money through PIPEs and various other mechanisms. So, you know, I think we are somewhat beneath the radar, and, you know, as we progress these assets and, you know, seek approval of some of these assets, I'm certain that we will see, you know, valuations of these three clinical stage assets that I've discussed be sort of more commensurate with our comparables.
Right. I don't think we covered this last time, but can you talk a little bit about, you know, your background experience and the key management?
Yeah, absolutely, Juan. So I joined VBI Vaccines in late 2009. Prior to that, I was a managing partner at the Column Group, a venture capital fund based in San Francisco. I joined them in 2006. We were a new team, first-time partnership. We raised our first fund, $265 million, with the vision of creating 7 to 8 de novo from scratch biotech companies, which I'm very proud to say that we did. And some of those companies have been very successful and very successful exits, particularly Aragon, Theragon, Immunezyme Corp, which is now a public company, Constellation, NGM, which are both still private. But, you know, I'm delighted to see that out that portfolio of companies in the first fund, you know, some very successful biotech companies addressing some very significant unmet medical needs. Prior to becoming a venture capitalist, I had 19 years in GlaxoSmithKline in a wide variety of roles in commercial R&D and general management, including manufacturing and supply chain. So very broad experience across 19 years in GSK, which obviously gave me a great sort of operational and sort of general management platform for the type of role that I do now. I was just, when I left, I was senior vice president of R&D operations, including finance and deal structure and everything else, and reported to the chairman of GSK's R&D group, and in fact, prior to that, reported directly to the CEO. So that's me. Other key members of the management team, I think just focusing on our sort of key sort of chief officers in the companies. Our chief scientific officer, Dave Anderson, is absolutely a world-class immunologist. Joined the company full-time just before I joined in 2009. Absolutely expert in both cancer immunology and infectious disease immunology. He actually ran a cancer tumor lab at Harvard Medical School as an associate professor just before he joined us. So Dave Anderson really, really does have absolutely the right experience, and obviously having been in companies since 2009 has really sort of accumulated some very significant biotech experience over the last 8 years, but prior to that, an absolutely stellar academic career. And our chief medical officer, Francisco Diaz-Matoma, is a PhD MD, very, very smart guy, very, very experienced in running clinical trials in infectious disease, and in particular in hepatitis B. He actually ran all of the registration trials in Canada for GlaxoSmithKline and Sanofi as an independent investigator, and has got significant clinical experience running infectious disease clinics. So I think, you know, between the three of us in terms of, you know, clinical development, sort of hardcore sort of immunology, and, you know, more general sort of life sciences, biotech, pharma management, the three of us really complement each other really well. And our board of directors is absolutely first class. I mean, our chairman, Steve Gillis, is a world-renowned immunologist, and one of the key managing partners at Arch Ventures, who are our third largest investor. Our other significant investors, our largest investor is Perceptive Life Science Advisors. They own nearly 19% of us and have a board member, one of their senior portfolio managers. Our second largest investor is Opco, who own about 16% of us, and they're represented by Dr. Phil Frost, two right-hand people, Steve Rubin and Anne Logal from the Opco board, also sit on our board. And last but not least, Claris own about 7% of us, and again, they're represented on our board by Scott Roquard. So I think, and the independent director is Michel Deville, who was previously global head of R&D for Sanofi Pasteur Vaccines Division. So we have a really, well, you know, a really strong, in terms of experience, domain experience, both public and private, large and small pharma, biotech, and, you know, technical expertise between the management team and the board.
Certainly. So once again, joining us today is Jeff Baxter, President and CEO of VBI Vaccines Incorporated, which trades on NASDAQ, ticker symbol VBIV, as well as on the Toronto Stock Exchange, VBV, currently trading at $3.87 a share. Market cap is at about $157 million. And before we conclude here, to recap some of your key points, why do you believe investors should consider the company as a good investment opportunity today?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we're obviously a very closely held company by some really expert, fundamental, scientifically driven biotech investors who are obviously heavily involved in the company, know all of the detail in the company, have continued to invest in the company through these pipes. In fact, we closed the pipe at the end of last year with Perceptive, who I'm sure your followers know are one of the most successful biotech-only funds in North America. So we have fundamental investors who own in excess of 65% of the company and continue to invest in the company, very heavily involved, and, you know, insiders and as board members. I think, you know, that should tell people that we are doing very, very meaningful things. And if you look at our comps, our public company comps, you know, then many are 2 to 3 times our valuations. Obviously, Dynavax has a market cap of over $1 billion, but they completed their phase three. But we are only 2 years away from that process. And, you know, our product has been in 300,000 subjects, people, half of whom are newborn babies in Israel, and has been safe. GBM, you know, Celldex, when they had a phase 2A brain cancer candidate, again, their market cap was $1 billion. And congenital CMV, the competitive field is really, really wide open. This is significant unmet medical need without many companies, in fact, very, very few companies working on this. And this is a $2 to $3 billion market a year. So I think, you know, any one of those, the nice thing about VBI, you can think about Sci-B-Vac being a very, very low risk asset, given that it has been approved in 14 countries already, and highly regulated markets such as Israel. You know, that asset, you know, at the lower end of the risk scale could provide, you know, 6 to 7x return for investors over the next 2 to 3 years. And, of course, at the other end of the risk equation, you have very early and high risk, but very high reward assets, such as the GBM brain cancer vaccine, that will produce, you know, a 15 to 20x venture-like return. So I think VBI very unusually, you know, represents a really nice risk portfolio that you don't see in many biotech companies. And as I say, given that, as I say, our fundamental biotech investors are so heavily invested in this company and so close to the company, I think perhaps the non-expert biotech investors should draw some confidence from that, given the strength of our investor base.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on the upcoming progress. And we'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today, Jeff, and update our investor audience on VBIV. It was great having you on.
Great one. Thanks very much indeed to you and to all of your followers for the support and interest. Thank you.